Thank you. Welcome to you this morning. I'm so glad that you're here, each one of you. I'm glad that you're here this morning, and I hope that you are glad as well that you are here. Stand with me, and let's count our blessings this morning.
Church, so glad you're here. If you are a visitor or new here, I'm John Roberts, the youth pastor here at First Baptist Church. We are so glad that you're here. If you're a guest or visiting with us, we've got some visitor cards at the back of these pews. We'd love for you to fill that out so we can have your information, be able to contact you, ask how we can pray for you, see if there's opportunities for you to plug in serving or Sunday school classes, Wednesday night activities. We'd love for you to be a part of what God is doing through his people here at First Baptist Church. A couple of announcements. Gotta have the big one. Tonight, y'all, 5 p.m., soup and cornbread. This is my first one as a Glenvillian, so I am ready to get me some soup and cornbread. Backpacks are due today. We have the backpacks that are going to the young boys and girls in the Appalachian Mountains. So if you picked up a backpack and fill it up and drop it off at the office. And then let's see if there's anything else major going on. In a couple weeks, our first Sunday with our new associate pastor of worship and senior adults, Philip Shepherd, will be here. December 3rd, that'll be his first Sunday. So be excited, be ready to welcome him in as he leads us. Brandon and I are so excited. I think we just cannot wait for Philip to be here. So other than that, if there's any other things going on, we've got the harvest meal for our widows, widowers, elderly, and shut-ins, those who may have not have family around here. We have got that meal this tomorrow at 4 o'clock in the fellowship hall. If you've got any questions about that, ask myself, Brandon, Lisa Oliver, and we'll get you settled with that. Any other announcements, you'll find them in the bulletin. If you'd like to read an article, I wrote the one this Sunday. So, shameless plug. I think is challenging for us, especially in this time of year. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for today. God, thank you for the love that which you loved us. God, that while we were yet sinners, God, when we were enemies of you, you died for us. God, you looked in the face of our sinfulness and still chose to take on the punishment for our sin. God, even Jesus, as you sat on the cross, you said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God, we are a broken people. God, we are desperately in need of your grace today. God, would you just help us to worship in mind and heart? God, would you help us to reconcile? Would you help us to be unified? God, would you help us to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength? In Jesus' name, amen.
Last Sunday, I asked you to stand and find someone you had not spoken to yet and tell them one thing that you were thankful for. Okay, I'm going to start. I am thankful that you are here. I'm thankful that you are here. I want you to stand now and find somebody you've not spoken to and tell them why you're thankful. What, something you're thankful for. Something you're thankful for. Straight to be, let my
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun shines. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of us lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of us lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being with us always. But Lord, we just thank you for being with us as we gather together. Lord, we pray for Pastor Brandon as he brings the word. Lord, just ask you to help us clear our minds so we can hear from you. And Lord, we just pray for our service tonight, Lord, that you will be glorified. And now we ask your blessings on this offering that it go to your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Church. We'll see you in a little bit. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. Today we are going to be looking at a passage that has a lot of hard names. And as I typically tell you, when you are teaching, talking about the scriptures, and you come across a Hebrew or Greek or maybe even Aramaic name, show yourself a little grace. And as I like to say, fake some confidence when you're saying these names. So today, I may pronounce some of these names, and you may look at that and go, that's not how I'd say it, and I might say it differently the next time. Let's all show each other a little grace in that, okay? But this is a wonderful, wonderful passage talking about faithful servants of the Lord, serving the church, and being an encouragement to one another. So in a little while, I'm going to tell you a story about a man who owns a candy shop. And that's all I'm going to give you now. I'm just hooking you in, getting you interested. We all like candy. Some of us like men. It's an interesting topic to get us drawn in. But let's pray and let's study this scripture together. We're in Colossians chapter 4. We'll read through it in a moment. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your mercies that are new every single morning. Thank you for the ways that you care for us, the ways that you love us, the ways that you desire a relationship with us. Lord, I'm reminded of something profound I heard at Sunday school. And it's that if our good works aren't accompanied by your strength, they're not really good works at all. They're bad works. So, Father, I pray that this morning we would be accompanied by your strength. Lord, we desperately need you. We need you to speak to us. So, Lord, whatever you have to do, whatever you have to say, please, Lord, have your way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we are, Colossians. I'm going to say that one right today. Colossians chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. We're going to read through the end of the chapter. We're going to read this in its entirety, and then we're going to go back and dig a bit deeper into this scripture. I encourage you to follow along in your Bibles. The Bible in the pew in front of you matches the translation I'll be reading from, or you can follow along on the screen. Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. Tychicus, our dearly loved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know how we are, and so that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, a faithful and dearly loved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you about everything here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you greetings, as does Mark, Barnabas' cousin, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And so does Jesus, who is called Justice. These alone of the circumcised are my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. He is always wrestling for you in his prayers so that you can stand mature and fully assured in everything God wills. For I testify about him that he works hard for you, for those in Laodicea, and for those in Hierapolis. Luke, the dearly loved physician, and Demas send you greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters in Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her home. After this letter has been read at your gathering, have it read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And tell Archippus, pay attention to the ministry you have received in the Lord so that you can accomplish it. I, Paul, am writing this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I ask that you would speak clearly to us and give us understanding. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here is point number one today. I hope you're taking notes as we follow along with me. Point number one is this. They have been a comfort to me. They have been a comfort to me. We've talked about this word comfort before. It's two words, calm and forte. With strength, right? We give strength as we comfort people. We give assurance as we comfort people. Here's what beginning in verse 7 says again. Tychicus, our dearly loved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. So what's happening here? Tychicus is giving an update on Paul. Tychicus is being sent as a messenger to say, here is everything that's been going on. And it's not meant to be sent as a oh no, Paul's in chains, what are we going to do? It's actually meant to be sent as an encouragement. Even though Paul is in chains, here is how God is still working in the midst of this situation. Verse 8, I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know how we are and so that he may encourage your hearts. I think encouragement is one of the most overlooked aspects of the Christian life. I think as we encourage each other, we truly embody who Christ is. Here's an example. This morning, most Sunday mornings, not every Sunday morning, but most Sunday mornings, I come in here and all the people in here pray together for the service. Pray for God to move. One of our common prayers, God, would you hide me behind your cross? Would you just let you be seen and not anyone else? One of our common prayers is, God, help us worship you genuinely in spirit and truth. And one of the things that got talked about this morning as we were talking and praying is that Jesus wasn't rushed. Jesus took his time with people. Jesus took his time ministering to people. Jesus did not say, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have time for you. I'm on my way to do something else. Jesus took time where he was. I think it's so fascinating and important for us to notice that encouragement among brothers and sisters in Christ is vital. It's vital. The whole purpose for Tychicus being sent, is giving this report, is to be an encouragement. Verse 9, he is coming with Onesimus, a faithful and dearly loved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you about everything here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you greetings, as does Mark, Barnabas' cousin, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And so does Jesus, who is called Justice. Just to be clear, if you're not actually reading this on the text, we're not talking about Jesus Christ, and we're not saying justice like someone is just and we're seeking justice. It's J-U-S-T-U-S. It's the name. You need to know that Jesus was actually a really common name in that time. Jesus could either be translated Jacob, Joshua, Jesus. I mean, there's a lot of translations for it. And so that's why we signify when we're talking about Jesus Christ, Jesus who is called the Christ. Because there was quite a few Jesuses in that day. And they all had different names, and you had to have a way to distinguish who we were talking about. These alone of the circumcised are my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. So there's this story about a man who owns a candy shop. You ready for it? You've been waiting like 6 minutes for this. It's amazing. There's a story about a man who owns a candy shop, and it was a few weeks after Halloween. And this little girl comes into his store, and she sees he's kind of having a bad day. And so she goes home, and she grabs some of her old, stale Halloween candy and brings it into the candy shop. And she says, here you go, sir. She hands him a dum-dum. And the man goes, oh, thank you. That's very nice. And she could tell that he still wasn't very encouraged by the lollipop she had given him. And so every day for the next month, she would come in and she'd bring a new type of candy, hoping that one day she would find the type of candy that just made him over the moon ecstatic and to feel better. Next day she brings a Starburst. Next day she brings a Tootsie Roll. Next day, the list goes on and on and on. Let me not pretend that I can exhaust the name of candies. But every day she brings a different type of candy, hoping, and every day his response is the same. Wow, thank you. Wow, thank you. A little disingenuous. And then one day it finally clicks in her brain. And so instead of bringing a piece of candy, she brings a toothbrush and toothpaste. And she hands it to the man, and he says, wow, this is incredible. This is the best gift I've ever gotten. Why was the toothbrush and toothpaste so much more significant than the candy? He had the candy shop. He had candy whenever he wanted. He had the best of candies and he had the worst of candies. He could have candy whenever he wanted. A gift of candy meant nothing to him because he already had it. Listen to this. Sometimes we as Christians, because we have already received life in Jesus Christ, when people share with us about all the work Jesus is doing, we sometimes have the perspective of the man who owns the candy shop. We stop being as grateful hearing about the life and the work God is doing because he's already done the work and given us life. But I can assure you the gospel is so much sweeter than a piece of candy. And the gospel is so much more powerful than owning a candy shop. There needs to be this time in our life where the gospel, and let me be clear about what the gospel is. The gospel is this, that God loved you so much, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins. Your same very sins that separated you from God forever, you have now been brought in. Not only were you far and you're now near, you are dead and you've been made alive. This very gospel, sometimes we take it for granted. And I think we all need to be reminded of the encouragement that comes from hearing how God is working in the lives of others. Here's an example. I went to a class one time at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. I had to be on campus, and me and a buddy are playing ping pong in the student center. And I overhear a conversation at the table next to us. There are two ping pong tables, so there's a group of guys there and us group of guys. And I overhear the conversation. And one of the guys starts to talk about how God's speaking to him. And the other guy interrupts him to talk about how God's speaking to him. It's good to be excited about how God's working in your life. It's even better to be excited about how God's working in other people's lives. It's even better to be encouragement. We don't always have to one-up each other with stories, and we don't always have to be the person that says, oh, let me cut you off. I have a story that's way better. You've never heard a story like this. Here's the story. Sometimes it's good for us to just be quiet, listen to what God's doing in people's lives, and be greatly encouraged by it. Here's what's happening at the church in Colossae. Paul is sending messengers to tell them, here's the work God is doing in the lives of these faithful believers. And it's not meant to be, oh, let's celebrate these believers. It's meant to be, let's celebrate how Jesus is working in the midst of all of this. Verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus. Again, we have a signification. This Jesus is different than Justice. Who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. He is always wrestling for you in his prayers so that you can stand mature and fully assured in everything God wills. Here's point number two today. He is always wrestling for you in his prayers. He is always wrestling for you in his prayers. Now listen, my generation, it's an exciting one, okay? When I was growing up, wrestling was so, so big. I mean, as a kid, if you didn't watch WWF and then WWE, WC, I mean, all of it, right? All the Ws. If you didn't watch them, you were missing out. And then at school the next day, if you weren't able to talk about how Rey Mysterio did this and that, I mean, you were behind the times. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, I'm so sorry. You missed out on some special childhood moments. Wrestling was big, but there was something that was mystical about wrestling when I was growing up that's way different now. Okay, so what's happening now with wrestling, and it's really taken on the entertainment factor. You know people can get really hurt in these moments, but everyone knows it's scripted. I mean, there's a winner that's decided and a loser that's decided, and it's not like these two guys get in the ring and they just wrestle till they see who wins. They wrestle, it's like this act. And it's this play that's going on, and then you find out who wins. As a kid, that's not the case. As a kid, you're watching someone who's 5 foot nothing take on someone who's 7 foot five, and you think, he has a chance. This might happen. Because I was such a big fan of wrestling, I was subscribed to WWE Magazine. This is a very raw and vulnerable story for me, okay? So you guys are really going to hear who I am in this. The seventh grade. And I was so excited about my WWE magazine. Here's the problem. Those magazines did not just include stories and pictures of wrestling. They included pictures of the divas in wrestling, who were typically dressed, we'll say, immodest. I didn't necessarily care about that part. I liked the wrestling. I know that sounds like an excuse. I'm for real, though. I wanted to see the pictures of someone getting suplexed. So here I am in homeroom, seventh grade, me and all my buddies around the table looking at this magazine. Whoa, look at this. Whoa, look at that. Whoa, look at this. And as the teacher walks by, she goes, what are you looking at? And we say, oh, it's my wrestling magazine. And I start flipping through it, and it opens up on a page. What kind of page do you think it opened up on? A wildly inappropriate page. Who in the world, what was my mom thinking? Who in the world let this 12-year-old order this magazine? My mom. Show her some grace. So there my teacher rips up my magazine, rips it right in front of me, and goes, you are never to bring something like this to school again. And you know what happened? I said, I'm done with wrestling. I don't like wrestling anymore. It got me in trouble. Here in this passage, we see that Epaphras is wrestling for you in his prayers. A moment ago, I told you that wrestling was scripted, right? There's a winner and a loser. If you don't believe that, fine. Let the dream stay alive. Enjoy it. But it's scripted. As we pray for each other, this idea of wrestling for someone in our prayers is much more than we're just following a script, hoping one day we'll be winners. No, this idea of wrestling in our prayers is that we are giving everything we have as we pray for this. All of our soul, all of our strength, all of our being. In fact, a few months ago, I did a devotion with our staff during staff meeting where I talked about how we are commanded to love the Lord our God with all of our strength, all of our heart, and all of our mind. One of the ways we can translate that is that we are to love God with our variness. And it holds the idea that with everything in us, we are to love the Lord our God. I don't know about you, but when I was in high school and me and my buddies were trying to imitate the wrestling that we watched growing up, it was exhausting. We're all out of breath. I mean, I was in shape then. We were all out of breath, and we're all just losing our minds about what's happening. Have I ever been to the point where as I'm praying for someone, and I'm not talking like I'm just out of shape, I walked upstairs and started praying. Are we ever at the point where we just run out of breath because we have been praying our hardest for someone? We have been praying with everything we have, with our veriness for someone. This is how Epaphras is described, that he is always wrestling for you in his prayers. Why? So that you can stand mature and fully assured in everything God wills. Isn't that what we all want? I hear the question all the time, how do we know what God wants for us? How do you know what God wants for you? I can assure you, if you're not praying and you're not reading God's word, you will never know what God wants from you because you're never listening to him. Verse 13, for I testify about him that he works hard for you, for those in Laodicea and for those in Hierapolis. Verse 14, Luke, the dearly loved physician, and Demas send you greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters in Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her home. After this letter has been read at your gathering, have it read also to the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And I tell Archippus, pay attention to the ministry you have received in the Lord so that you can accomplish it. Here's point number three today. Pay attention to the ministry you have received. Pay attention to the ministry you have received. One of the most encouraging things about being a pastor is that we get to minister to people all the time. We get to see the highest of highs and the lowest of lows and everything in between. But did you know that we all have a ministry we are called to? It's not just people who get paid for the job who are to minister. We all are ministers. You know, this past summer, there's this huge debate in the Southern Baptist Convention about who can be a pastor and who can't be a pastor. Let me be clear. The role of pastor and the role of minister are very different. We are all called to minister. What does it mean to minister? It means to care for. It means to tend to. Does a pastor's job include ministering? You bet it does. But ministering, everyone is called to minister. all of us who believe in Jesus Christ are called to minister to each other. Again, be an encouragement to each other. What's the significance of Paul writing in this final chapter about the faithful saints he is working with? They're examples. They are examples of how we are to live. They're examples of how we are to act. They're examples of what it looks like to be following Christ, loving God, and loving others well. Pay attention to the ministry you have received. I want to say this too. For all of us, it would benefit us greatly to begin praying, God, whatever ministry you have for me, open my eyes to it. God, whatever ministry you have for me, open my eyes to it. Some of us don't know how we're called to minister. Some opportunities come up out of nowhere, right? Sometimes you pray for patience, you get tested on your patience. Sometimes you pray for the opportunity to talk to someone, you get the opportunity to talk to someone. Sometimes you pray for something and it happens. And a lot of times we just think, oh, it must be a coincidence. I don't know that I really believe in coincidences. I think God is always moving in our lives, and we have the choice to be aware of it or not. Here's what verse 18 says as I come to a close. I, Paul, am writing this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Let's break down this conclusion just a little bit. If you'll put verse 18 back up, please. Paul's writing this with his own hands. This is significant. Some of the letters of Paul are not written with his own hands. Some of his letters are written by Timothy and others. As he speaks it, they write it. But he says, this is written with my own hand. It shows he took the time to give this encouragement himself, saying, look, it's important for you to hear this. It's also important for the church of Laodicea to hear this. Remember my chains. Remember my chains. What's he asking for? That's a prayer request. Remember my chains. Would you please pray for me since I am imprisoned? Grace be with you. I think one of the most important things in this life, and I mean this wholeheartedly, if we have received life in Jesus Christ, if we have accepted Jesus Christ, if we have trusted the gospel, we are not to grow disgruntled and discontent like the man in the candy shop being offered candy. Every time we hear about life and life in abundance, it shouldn't be like we own a candy shop and someone gave us a lollipop. It should be like we have absolutely nothing and we were given everything. All of our gratitude, all of our thankfulness, all of our spirit of our heart comes from this idea that Jesus gives us everything we could not obtain ourselves, and even more so. With that being said, in a moment, I'm going to pray. We're going to have a time of invitation. And here's what I'm going to ask in this time of invitation. Two things. One, if you have never placed your trust in Jesus Christ, and here's what I mean by this. If you've never said, Jesus, I trust you as Lord and Savior of my life, and you feel like God is leading you to that, you feel like God is speaking to you, and you go, I want to trust in Jesus, I encourage you to respond. John and I will both be up here at the front. You come talk to us. You come pray with us. There's nothing about talking to us that's going to save you. There's nothing about coming up to the front that's going to save you. It's all about what happens with Jesus Christ. So here's what I'm asking you. Trust Jesus in your seat, but come tell us about it so we can celebrate with you. And then here's the other thing. If you see what our church is doing and you love what our church is doing and you want to be a part of ministering to each other but also ministering to our community, and you do not belong to a church anywhere, you do not have membership in a church anywhere, I encourage you to respond during this time. Come forward, we'll have you fill out a sheet, and what we are committing is this. Our church family will pour into your life and help equip you the best we can for this walk in Christ, and you will follow suit, and everyone else in the church you will invest your life in and pour into the best you can as we are all trying to head toward Christ-likeness. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your mercies that are new every single morning. Thank you for caring for us so deeply. Lord, thank you for these amazing examples of faithful men and women who are not living fraudulent lives. They're not living lives decorated in costumes, but they are who they say they are. They are yours. Father, I pray that you would use us all as an example of what it means to show this Christ-likeness. And God, I pray that today you are moving in the hearts of people and you will lead them to trust in you. Or Father, I pray that you will lead people to join our church. Lord, we are better together. And so I just pray that you would help us be unified in heart and mind. And I pray that you are honored in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stand and sing with me. Father, I adore you.
Life of our church. I'm going to invite Gary and Shirley. You have to fill that out after. Sorry. Not a lot of time. You can stand up here with me. I'm going to invite Gary and Shirley Yon. They have been coming for several months, and they would like to move their membership here to First Baptist Church of Glenville. Is that correct? Wonderful. Wonderful. So, church, here's what I'd like to ask. If you approve and affirm their movement of membership to this church, I just ask you to applaud. Praise God. We're so excited to have you as part of our church family. We commit to pouring into you, and we ask that you would pour into our church as well. After service, please make sure you stop by. Welcome Gary and Shirley into our church family. They've already been serving in different ways in the choir, and Gary and I have had a lot of conversations in the lobby while you've been singing in the choir. So a lot of good times. So excited to have them here as part of our church family. Hope that you'll come welcome them, make them feel at home. Again, if this is one of your first times here, or if this isn't a place you regularly come, I just want to let you know you are always welcome here. I hope you have felt welcome today, and I hope you will join us later this evening at 5 o'clock for our short service and soup and cornbread. It will be a wonderful, wonderful time. Carla, where are you at? Carla, would you close us in prayer today?
Lord, we love you today. We worship you because you're worthy. We are thankful for hundreds of things that you have done for us, things that we don't even recognize or realize, but we are grateful and we come before you humbly thanking you for those things. Thank you for Shirley and Gary coming this morning and joining with us officially. We just are excited about that. Thank you for loving us, for being in this place with us. Give us a precious afternoon of rest and a great time tonight of worship with you and fellowship with the others in our community. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.